It's great to be with you tonight. I'm here with my beautiful wife, Mary Ellen. We got married this summer in June, so I'm very blessed and a happy man to be married. We were both married to, I was married to a gal named Sandy, and she passed away from cancer. And Mary Ellen was married to an attorney in Colorado, and unfortunately he passed away, and we met each other and got married in a castle this summer and in a place called Colorado. That's where we're from. But we are delighted to be here with you, and I came up here so you can kind of see things a little bit because I have a box. I've taken this little box with me all over the world, and in this box I help people understand what it really means to be a Christian, because sometimes people get confused. They think being a Christian means going to church, but you know, if you went into a restaurant, that doesn't make you a hamburger, okay? If you go into the ocean, it doesn't make you a fish. If you sit in a church, it doesn't make you a Christian. So what is a Christian anyway? And how can you really tell? And how do you know for sure that Jesus is really real in your life? You see, because I grew up going to church, but I didn't know Jesus. I didn't come to know Jesus until I was 21 years old. And so I use this little box to help people understand what it means to be a Christian. I've done this in China and Russia and Europe and Africa and India and South America, and now I get to do it here in your beautiful island. And so what I like to do is in this box I bring out a little flashlight, all right? So you know what? We're going to use this to kind of understand what a Christian is and how you can really walk with God in your own life. You see, every flashlight was created, right? There's somebody made a decision about this flashlight. They decided how long it would be and the color it would be and the shape it would be. There were a lot of decisions that were made. It's kind of like God decided how tall you were going to be. You can decide how wide you want to be, okay? But God decided how tall you were going to be. God decided the color of your skin. And we have people of all different skin colors here. Fortunately, no one's green like this, all right? But you know, this flashlight was created. It did not happen by accident. Okay? This did not happen by accident. There wasn't some plastic factory somewhere and an explosion and went boom! And all of a sudden, there it was, the flashlight. No, someone thought about it. Someone created it. Someone made it. And there's a God who created you. He made you. He decided the color of your eyes and the color of your skin and how tall you'd be and some of your personality traits and color of your eyes and the place you were going to live. You didn't get to decide where you were going to be born. God decided that. And there's a God in heaven who created you, created me. And that's an amazing thing to know. Another thing about every flashlight on the planet, every flashlight has one purpose. Think about this. Every flashlight is made to hold power and to show forth light, right? Every flashlight, I don't care how big, how small, what color, what size, what shape, where it is on the planet, every flashlight has been created to hold power and to show forth light. That's really cool. You, my friend, you were created to know God. You were created to know God. You were created to know God in you and have His love in you and His presence in you and His Spirit in you, and that you would live your life and you would shine for God. Literally, God would shine through your life to show others what God is like as you connect with them and your friends and you care about them and all that. That's the way we were all made. We were all made to know God and to show forth His power and His love. Every one of us in this room. But you know what? Flashlights, how do they come when they come? They come, what? Empty. I mean, you know, you can't tell this flashlight, okay, you were created, you were made, you have a purpose. Now go ahead, do your thing. Shine. Shine. Come on, baby. Shine. Come on, you can do it. You were made for this. Shine. Shine. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. Shine. Something's wrong. Got no power. Something wrong with you and me. We're living our life. We're growing up, and all of a sudden we feel this emptiness inside of us. And we know that something's wrong. That we know we were created. We know we were made. We have a sense we were made for a purpose, but we suddenly sense that something's wrong inside of us, and we feel empty. And we start noticing that as a child, and as we get into our teen years, there's this emptiness. And what we want to do is we just want to fill it. We just want to fill the emptiness because we know that something's not right. And so we start going on this little journey in life, and we start trying to fill the emptiness. And we start trying to put stuff in our life that we think will fill the emptiness. Some people just try to do really, really good in things. Maybe you're really fast, or maybe you're really good in sports, or maybe you're really good in school, or maybe you're really good in something, and so you're really big into getting awards, all right? Here's a little blue ribbon. And you say, wow, you know what? I might feel empty, but I know if I get an award, then I am somebody. I got purpose. I got meaning. Look at me. I got that award. Today there was a sports program at school, and some of the kids got ribbons. It didn't feel good to get a ribbon when you were a kid, a ribbon or a trophy or something. Wow, I'm somebody. But you know what? The ribbons, they just kind of fade after a while. Those trophies, they just land in a box somewhere. And you know, you put that in your life and it doesn't satisfy. And you say, I know, I need more ribbons. Until you get more and more and more. That's one of the things that goes on. I know when I was growing up, I always thought that I wanted money. I thought if I got money, and if I got money and the things that money could buy, I would be somebody. And I put money in my life. Well, sometimes it fell out of my life. But I put money in my life, and I would get money any way I could, take it, steal it, any way I could. Because I thought if I got money, wow, look at me, check me out. I'm somebody. And maybe some of you know what I'm talking about. You thought money and stuff would satisfy. But you know what? It doesn't satisfy. And you think, well, the answer is just more money. There's some people living on this island. They're not happy. They might have $1 million and they're still miserable. You know, because they're thinking money's going to do it. It's never going to do it. You can't get enough money to fill the emptiness in your heart. Nobody can. All right? You know, there's other things that are going on too. Some people just want to look cool. All right? Or wear the right things. And so they just say, wow, look at me. And they get all dressed up and say, I shine. Check it out. And they shine. Wow, you're looking good, girl. You're looking good, guy. Wow, check you out. And all the, you know, you might look good, but when you go home and you're all by yourself, you feel real lonely and real empty. Just the way life is. And so that's going on. You know, and then there's some people, they just say, well, I just need a cool phone. If I have a cool phone, then I'll be somebody. So they get their phone, and now they're looking good, and they got their phone, and they're always on it, and look at me. And I got 10,000 Facebook friends, and I'm doing this, and I got this many likes, and I'm on YouTube and all this stuff, and check it out. Look at me, trying to be somebody. There's other people really big into their music. Here's a little iPod shuffle, you know. So you just kind of plug into your music and you just listen all the time and you just tune out the whole world. You tune out your brother, your sister, your parents, everybody, the teachers, because you got your music and that's all you need is your music. And what are you doing? You're just trying to feel that emptiness. Wow, what else is going on? Well, there's a whole lot more stuff going on. You know, there's somebody says, you know, you're not happy, you're miserable, you feel down. Hey, I got some drugs. And if you take these drugs, you're going to feel real good. And you can take those drugs, and it'll make you feel good for a little while, and then you won't feel so good for a while. And you say, well, I just need more drugs. And you try more and more stuff. There's a whole area of sex. You see, every flashlight comes with buttons. Wow, push that button. Woo, that feels good. Push that button. And like, wow, I want someone to push my buttons. And he's like, I'm living. I'm really living. Check that out. Feel that. No, you're still empty. You know, there's other people who say, well, I'll give you alcohol. You know, and they'll tell you, here's a little bottle from an alcohol thing. Boop, 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 boop. You know, and I did some of that in high school. Whoa, I'm having a good time now. Woo. And I filled my life with alcohol. I had a real mess. And you know, and then there's sometimes you say, okay, I'm going to do good. I'm going to get this thing figured out. I'm going to do life. I'm going to be as good as I can be. It's like white cotton. And you start putting some good stuff in your life. You start being nice to people. You try to be nice to people. You try to do the right thing and say the right thing. And you're putting all kinds of good stuff in. And you say, well, maybe that'll do it. And you're still feeling empty inside. There's something else going on in the Bible. In the book of Exodus, Ten Commandments, not the Ten Suggestions. Ten Commandments. What are some of those? You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God. Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. It's the most precious name on the planet, and yet people use it as a swear word. Jesus Christ. You know, they drop a rock in their toe, Jesus Christ. I mean, why don't they drop a rock in their toe and say, oh, Buddha, Hare Krishna. Why Jesus Christ? Why use that word? Why use that name? It's the most precious name in all the universe. And you use it like it's nothing. And what's happening in your life, it's sin. There's dirt. It's not a, it's just, you're just saying it. It's just dirt starts filling up in that flashlight. Just little things, you know. You're just taking the Lord's name in vain. Just little things. The Lord says, honor me on my Sabbath day, you know. We're supposed to honor him, love him every day of the week. But, you know, a special day with the Lord and his people, and we don't do it when you sleep in, you know, just do that. And then it's just really crazy stuff here. Honor your father and mother. And you might say, but you don't know my parents. Doesn't matter. And, you know, you disrespect them and you talk back to them and you don't do what they say or what they ask. You're breaking the heart of God. You don't have perfect parents and they don't have perfect kids. The only thing perfect in this world are grandkids, as far as I can tell. You know, but you just disrespect them. And it's just dirt filling up in your flashlight. You shall not steal. That means taking anything you don't have permission to take. You shall not give false testimony against your neighbor, talking trash about somebody. You know, stuff going on like that. You shall not covet. Means wanting things that other people have. You know, on and on. And what's happening in your flashlight is you're just filling up with little chunks of dirt. And then somebody comes along and tells you about Jesus. And you say, wow, man, I need Jesus. And you know what? I needed Jesus too. But you know what? What happens to a lot of people, they say, okay, Jesus, I need you. I want you to come into my life, which is a good thing to say. But here's what the problem is. People say, I want Jesus. And they put him in right on top of all their junk. And then they try to say, okay, I got Jesus. Now I'm going to shine. And there's something desperately wrong. And they decide that Jesus doesn't work for them. But the problem isn't Jesus didn't work for them. It's that they've not recognized who they are. The Bible says that we're sinners. All sin and fall short of the glory of God. We are sinners by birth. We're a sinner by nature. We're sinners by practice. And Jesus had to go to a cross to pay the penalty for all of our stuff, all of our junk. All the things we've done in our life to try to fill the emptiness, all the things you've done to replace God. And so all that stuff is going on. And here's what has to happen is you've got to recognize that you're a sinner that needs a Savior, and you've got to tell the Lord that. You see, for me, I was kind of like this. I thought I had Jesus in my life, but I had Jesus in all that other stuff, all that other junk. Everything was still all going on. And I came at the age of 21. I said, Lord, you know what? I want to just empty all this out, all this music stuff and all this trying to impress people stuff and all this Jesus stuff that was just Jesus without you really fully in my life and all that dirt. You know, the Bible says, you know, all that dirt, the Bible says your filthiness, your righteousness becomes like filthy rags. All that good work stuff I tried to do, you know, all the liquor I drank, all the stuff I took, all the awards I got, all the money that was in there. And I had to say, Lord, you know what? All I want is you. Lord Jesus, you died on that cross for me. You died for my sin. You were going to be my Savior. And Lord, I confess that. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And so at the age of 21, I remember I got down in a broom closet at a church and I called out. I said, Lord, I'm a sinner. I'm a liar and I'm a thief and I'm immoral and I'm all these things, God. But you're my Savior. And Jesus, as best as I know how, I confess these things and I invite you to come into my life. Come into my life, Lord. I need you. I need you to come in. And the Lord came into my life. He said, he had to whack me upside the head. And suddenly, for the first time in my life, at the age of 21, the emptiness was filled. It wasn't that I couldn't drink. It wasn't that I, amen. It wasn't that I couldn't run around with women. It wasn't that I couldn't do drugs. It wasn't any of that. It wasn't trying to me stop all that. The reason I was doing all that is I was so empty on the inside. And when Jesus filled me, I didn't want to do that stuff anymore. He made me brand new. The Bible says if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things became new. And suddenly I was a brand new person. Suddenly I felt Jesus in my life. I felt his peace. I felt his presence. I felt his power in my life. And before, all those things that I did were because I just felt empty. And I was trying to get that emptiness filled. What are you trying to fill your life with? What is it you're trying to do in your life that you know is breaking the heart of God and others? And what you may be discovering tonight is that your real need is Jesus. And that you are a sinner just like me. You needed a Savior just like me. And that Christ alone can come and fill your life. But here's the challenge, okay? Here's a challenge for you. What's going to happen if I keep this flashlight on? Batteries are going to burn out, right? Batteries are going to burn out. So God in his love gave us a love letter. He gave us a love letter. This is one of my Bibles. I got lots of Bibles, you know? And here's the choice in life. You can have a messed up Bible or a messed up life. You choose, okay? And God wants you every day to read his love letter. Every day that you would recharge your spiritual batteries, that you would connect with God in a personal way, and that you would be in his word, and that you would look to him, and that you'd do that every day. Now for me, I became a Christian at 21. At first, I wasn't quite sure what to do with the Bible, but I began to read it some, and I began to be encouraged by it. And then when I was, a couple years later, I read about why be in the Word of God every day, and there were like 9 reasons why to spend time with God every day. And it said things like in this book, it said, if I spend time in the Word, God will give me more peace. And I needed peace. God says, if I spend time in his Word, he'll give me more guidance. And I thought, I need guidance. If I spend time in God's Word, he'd give me more courage. And I thought, I need more courage. And if I spend time in God's Word, he'd give me more wisdom. I need more wisdom. And so you know what? So 30-some years ago, I began to spend time in the Word of God every day, and I've never stopped in 13,000 days. That's 35 years. For 35 years of my life, I've been in the Word of God every day, not because I have to be, but because I want to be. Because it's God's love letter to me, and because God wants to speak to me, and he wants to remind me how much he loves me and how he wants to use me. And how he wants to bless me to make me a blessing. And today I prayed for you even though I didn't know who you were. Today my wife and I had devotions together in the Word. Tonight we're going to have devotions together in the Word. And we'll be in the Word every day because God has a love letter for us. And there's things he wants to say to us. And there's ways he wants to encourage us. Even last night as we read, and this is a good tip for you. If you're not sure what to read, here's a couple tips for you. Look at the calendar. If you don't know what to read in the Bible, look at the calendar. And here's what you do. So it's the 21st day of the month, right? So read the 21st chapter of Proverbs. There's 31 Proverbs. And so any day of the year, you can just say, okay, God, I'm going to be in Proverbs, and that book is going to help you a lot. And then at night, that's in the morning. I do that frequently. But then what I did, we did last night is Psalm 21. It was the 20th. We were in Psalm 20 last night before we went to sleep last night. May the Lord answer you when you are in distress. May he send you help and grant you support. May he give you the desires of your heart and make all your plans succeed. May the Lord grant all your requests. I know that the Lord saves his anointed. He enters from heaven with his saving power. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord our God that they are brought to their knees and fall, but we rise up and stand firm. And last night, before we went to sleep, we read that scripture, Mary Ellen and I. You see, because God wants to make you strong. He wants to make you a strong Christian. He wants you to be a light shining in the darkness, in your family, in your neighborhood, in your school, and in your workplace. God is in the business of taking people he's created and allowing them to come to the realization that their emptiness and the things they try to fill their emptiness with cannot satisfy. And then he comes to a place where he helps you understand that you're a sinner that needs a Savior, and it's Christ. And you empty that stuff out, and you say, Jesus, I need you. I need you, and you invite him into your life. and then you begin to walk with him all the days of your life. And my friends, God brought me here tonight to tell you that. And you may never remember my name, but you'll always remember the Fleshlight Man, okay? You'll always remember the Fleshlight Man. For some of you, I may see you later this week. That'd be great. For some of you, I'll never see you again this side of heaven. But what I would like to do in heaven is I'd like to meet you just inside the Eastern Gate. And I'd like you to come up and just introduce yourself to me and say, Brian, do you remember in 2014 when you came to my country, to my little island, and you talked about the Fleshlight? God spoke to me that night, and he spoke to me in a way that was brought change into my life and helped me understand really what it meant to be a Christian and to walk with Christ. And I just want to say thank you for that. So I look forward to seeing you this week or on just inside the Eastern Gate. And we'll fellowship together. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for every person that's here tonight. Lord, I thank you that what I'm saying is true. Lord, we're created by you. We're made with a purpose, but we come into this world empty. And Lord, we try to fill our life with so much stuff, and it doesn't satisfy. It will never satisfy. You and you alone can fill that emptiness. And Lord, forgive us for those things that we've done and the people we've heard and the things we've said, Lord, while we tried to deal with that emptiness in our soul. But Jesus, thank you that you are the one that paid the price for all of our sin. All of that sin can be dumped out on the cross. And Lord, you can come into our life and you can fill us with your peace and your presence and your power and your purpose. And Lord, then every day we can recharge, we can read that love letter and be in your word, oh God, and just realize that you're there for us and you care for us and you want to bless us and make us a blessing and you want us to shine for you in this dark world. Lord, help each person who came tonight understand something that I said that would really help them. In Christ's name, amen. Thank you so much.